As John Lennon once sang, it'll be just like starting over. And this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And now
welcome to episode 51 of the Fat Man Chronicles. I'm Pete. Sitting alongside me, as always, is my lovely wife, Gretchen. And we are a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. We got nothing in that bottle.
Nothing. And you only put a 5.
I know, it's 51.
But it just says 5.
Sometimes I erase and forget to write. You want it to be episode 5 and torture people?
We went back in time.
Torture people with another 46 episodes? Sorry that I forgot to write the number for you.
A little disturbing. Well, I'll survive, though.
I'm really not sure how that impacts you, considering you don't need to know the episode number.
I know, but I look at it.
But just look at the rest of the words.
I did. I was.
Okay, hold on. Let me get up.
All right, hold on. Write the one. Okay. Right. Oh, I feel so much better now. Okay. Thank you. It probably would have bugged me the entire episode.
I
for
had a
whatever
feeling.
Strange reason.
I had a feeling. And you know what's great about this? I can edit all this right out.
Aww.
I will not.
But you have the skills.
But I can now.
You have the skills. After 51 episodes, you have the skills.
Well, no, because the first like 27 were...
Yeah, but you were trying to learn and stuff during the first 27.
But it's interesting because it's getting almost 50-50 at this point where I've edited versus professionals.
That's true.
I wonder if anybody knows the difference.
I would think so, but you never know.
Well, since we have nothing to talk about with drinking.
No, we got water.
And now that I wrote the one.
Thank
so,
you.
So it's 51 and you're not bothered.
No, I'm not bothered anymore.
We could talk. It's been 2 weeks since we recorded.
No, it's been a crazy couple weeks. It's hard to believe it's been 2 weeks, but it's been a crazy couple weeks.
Well, last week we thought about recording.
Yes.
And then I was saying that I didn't think people needed to have us 3 times within like a week.
A week. Yeah, that would be a little much.
Right, because we recorded... And then we recorded with Jen and Boone.
Right. And then to record again.
Right. And then this week we planned to record earlier.
Yeah.
And life
got in the way.
And since we are not professionals.
No.
Our jobs and family and other stuff took precedent.
Yep. But we are recording tonight.
Precedence. I think that's it.
Since.
But we had a great time.
Yes.
Meeting up with some people.
Yeah.
Right around the Chicago Marathon time.
Yes.
So last week was the Chicago Marathon.
It was.
That would have been last
Sunday. Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday, we went into the city of Chicago.
Yep.
And met up with Rob and Heather.
And their little boy.
And we had our whole brood with us.
Yes. All of them.
It was Daniel and Lily and Michaela and us. And we went to the Museum of Science and Industry. That was great.
Yeah.
And then...
Of course, we didn't realize... It closes at 3:00 on a Sunday.
Well, you know, we had extra time in there, though.
I know.
Because they locked us in with
them. Yeah, they did. I was actually shocked with your claustrophobia that you weren't, like, having, like, a panic attack.
It's a huge building.
So you feel like you could have, like, found some place to get out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. But with the steel gates coming down and the giant sirens going off, it was interesting.
It was a little unnerving.
So that was an interesting time to end that. But then we went to dinner with them, which was great. And then
found a new Italian place in the city. That was very good.
Yeah, that was in Hyde Park.
Yep.
Which is...
Never been like in that area, like except to go to the museum, really. I've never gone out or anything in the area.
You didn't... I mean, the Obama house is not far from there. You didn't just go like walking by hoping to get a glimpse of the president and first lady?
No.
Oh, okay. I should say former president and first lady now.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. And then the next day you took Daniel and Lily back.
Right.
And I went into Chicago on the train.
Yes.
On a rainy.
Rainy morning.
Morning. And met up with Kevin and Holly Ann. They were in from Nebraska. They were not running. They were just there to cheer.
Spectators.
Spectate.
And I don't know if Holly Ann will do again.
What? Oh, really?
Because there's a lot of people. She didn't seem to really enjoy all the crowds. The crowds of people. Like, I think she enjoyed, like, obviously cheering on everyone, but, like, getting from one place to the other with all the millions of other, your closest best friends, it didn't seem like that was her.
I don't think that's anybody's favorite thing. That's not my favorite thing either. And I was trying to just kind of follow along, which is not normally my style.
No.
But I think we did a pretty good job with that. I mean, after a really good dinner the night before with getting to know Rob and Heather better, that was awesome.
And did you see him out on the course? Because you weren't following him per se. You guys were following a bunch of others.
Well, he was on my list of people I was following.
Hopefully. Well, sorry. I meant this. Yeah. In the app, you were following him, but you weren't trying to time it to see him at any point of the course.
So we only went to a couple of spots.
Oh, really?
Like three spots. So we started at mile four and we were there a long time.
Okay.
So I got off the train and I just hoofed it because all the streets are closed anyway. Yeah. Right. So I'm like, I'll just walk up there. And so I just started walking towards mile four. And the elites had already started, and the wheelchair and hand crank racers were already started, and I got to see a lot of them coming down the road towards me as I kind of walked up to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal was just to kind of get there and then see as many people as possible.
Right.
But, you know, it was like in and out of rain and stuff. But what was the funniest part was as I was walking, they have the barricades, and then at all the cross streets, there's at least one cop,
right?
You know, standing there, Chicago cop. And I'm walking, and I'm like, Ryan, Sean, Ryan. Sean worked with me at Hub Group. I hired him.
That's so funny.
At Hub, and then he left Hub to become a Chicago cop, and I hadn't seen him in a while now, so that was kind of funny.
That's like, random.
Just small world, right? Then finally found them. I didn't see them at first. They were standing in the median.
Okay.
So there had to be dodging of runners to get to them.
Nice.
And where we were at mile four, the median's pretty big. So runners are on both sides.
So you can see them coming and going?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just coming at you, they kind of split.
Okay.
And so it's tough to spectate.
Because you don't know which way to look.
I don't know which way to look. And I mostly look to the side with the blue line, which is the shortest.
Okay.
That's how they measure the course, right? Okay. So if you ran on the blue line, you'd run exactly 26.2 miles.
Okay.
Or I don't know. And there's some yards in there, too. Right. I don't know the exact yards. So you would run that exactly. So I was looking mostly that direction.
Okay. Because who wouldn't want to run along the blue line?
I'm not sure everybody realizes that, though.
Oh, hey, helpful hint.
True. Super helpful hint for a guy that's never run a marathon. But it was great because we did get to see some people. So one of the current co-hosts of 10 Junk Miles, Siva Ballou.
Right.
How was your day today? Any 10 Junk Milers listeners will get that. I got to see him. And he doesn't know me, but I had a TJM hat on. Actually, I think we're Facebook friends.
Aww.
I think he friended me at one point.
So you're like full-on stalker.
No.
No?
I didn't friend him. He friended me.
Wow. So he stalks you.
Well, I think it was because I...
Because we talk about 10 Junk Miles. No.
Well, I mean, I've tagged him a few times in posts, but I think it was more because of being friends on Facebook with Scott Coomer, who's like the main host of it.
Yeah.
Which was a more recent thing and... I don't know. Whatever reason, doesn't matter. But Steve, I got to see him and I yelled at him. And he did turn and wave.
He tripped and fell and ruined his race.
No, he turned and waved. And what I was looking for Rob right around that point because they were in the same corral. Okay. They were running about the same pace.
Okay.
And I did not see Rob though. So I was super disappointed actually because I didn't see Rob.
But is it like it's still at mile four? They're still pretty bunched up at that point, right? Like, they haven't done the whole spread, or has they already started to do a little bit of the spreading?
There's bunches of people, for sure. I mean,
so it's hard to spot everyone.
It is, especially if you don't know which side of the road they're going to be on.
Exactly.
That's really the hardest part. So it was neat to see Siva, and then Kevin and Holly Ann were following people that, and they saw one of their friends, and that was cool. And we saw several subbers out there, sub 30 members, and got to fist bump and high five and hug a few of them. So that was pretty cool. And then also from my alma mater, Oak Forest, there's a woman named Denise Soriel. They call her the Marathon Whisperer. She was running her 100th marathon.
That's crazy.
Her first one was in 1994, Chicago. And this
is her 100th.
Her 100th. And in between, she's got a great story. She got struck by a car in between. And,
that's
you
crazy.
Know, like, it's just unbelievable. And she trains people for a living. And so I got to see her briefly, you know, and yell at her. She doesn't know me either.
Yeah.
But fellow Bengal. So I feel good about that.
There you go.
And then we took off to more between miles 11 and 12.
Okay.
And, you know, saw a few people, and then went more towards the finish. And probably more like in between 24 and 25, or right around, maybe just after 25. I can't remember. No, just before 25. And didn't really see people, because there it's tough because the street is really wide.
Right.
And it's really difficult if you don't know which side people are going to be on. And then we had had enough of
the
cold
rain.
And rain, and just went and got a beer.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So, but it was a lot of fun to get out there.
Yeah.
And then
because we've done the spectating at Chicago for your brother and stuff. And
right.
That was, you know, Sarah's got that path. She's got that down. And because Joey's so fast, you had to be very strategic as to where you're going to go. Otherwise, you could miss him if you dawdled, and we were not allowed to.
Well, and we found out that he's still very, very fast.
Yes.
He was running the same day, but up in Minnesota in the Twin Cities Marathon, and came like another sub 3, 2:55 and
something,
change.
Yeah.
So my brother is still just unbelievable to me that they're able to crank out these sub 3 marathons.
It's crazy.
Really cool. And it takes a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not easy to do. So it was great. And so we followed virtually along with everybody. And I think all but maybe one subber finished.
Oh, that's good.
It went from Chris Willis, who's a local guy who's extremely fast running in I can't remember, but like in the super fast, like ridiculous Boston qualifying sub, I don't know, 2:40 time, I think.
Okay.
But super fast, and or maybe it's in the 2:40s. Can't remember. All the way up to, you know, somebody who finished it like 5:25 in the evening.
Kudos to them for like sticking it out. I couldn't.
Well, that was you had met him the year before, David.
Right. Yes.
And just a phenomenal guy.
Yes.
And you know,
he didn't run last year, right? Like
he had volunteered last year, but knew he wanted to run this year.
Exactly. I remember that at dinner.
Yeah. So it was great. You know, got to see him. Got to see Zoe. A few others too.
Yeah.
And it was just phenomenal. It makes you want to run one. Well,
no.
Not everybody.
No.
But some of us.
No. I'm good.
So, but it was great to see everybody.
Yeah.
And
so is that a tease? Are you running? Are you going to run a marathon? Or are you just teasing still?
I don't have a marathon on the schedule yet.
Oh.
I do not. Until it's on the schedule,
it's not official.
It's not official.
Not official.
Nope. Because you can want to do things. Like, I want to be a rich guy. I'm just not.
I wish you would.
I know.
Become a rich guy.
Be great. Be great all around.
Then I wouldn't have to get up at 3:30 tomorrow morning.
So then we went to dinner that night.
Yes.
You met us down.
I came
in
down.
The city, and we went to dinner.
Dropped off the kid.
Yep.
Well, actually, I didn't. Your mom came. Your mom was great. She flew in from California that afternoon, got dressed.
To be clear, she lives here.
She lives here.
She had been out
of town. She had been out for her birthday. She went to Disneyland. and
her and my dad.
Yeah.
None of the grandkids.
Nope, just the two. They love Disney. They love it. And but so she was great, and she came over, and Michaela's like, "Grandma's here. Peace out. I don't need you anymore." So I was like, "All right." So I came down and met up with you guys.
And we went to Boca.
We went to Boca.
And had a phenomenal time.
Always.
And got to go with Kevin and Holly Ann there. And it was great being with Holly Ann.
Yeah. It was great to meet
Kevin,
him.
Kevin was there.
Yeah, he was there. But Holly Ann is great.
Now he'll be team. Oh, wait, he's team D'Amico kids now. Hashtag yeah, yeah. Team D'Amico kids.
Yeah, he doesn't like either of us anymore.
but it was a great meal. If you're in Chicago and haven't been to Boca,
yeah,
highly recommend.
It's worth the mortgage payment.
It's not that much if you don't do the tasting menu and
yeah, they actually,
wine pairings.
It's kind of funny. I was like, oh, they have a real menu where you don't have to do the 10-course tasting. Oh,
eight course
tasting. My bad.
I think we might have had 10.
Yeah,
it was a lot, but
it was so good.
One of my coworkers ran Chicago also.
Yeah.
Lee,
yeah.
And she finished too. Did a great job, and her roommate is the sous chef over at Boca.
And he was there.
He was there. So, we didn't meet him, though.
We did not meet him.
Because we didn't know.
We thought he was off. Yep. And then we found out later.
But we appreciate everything that they did. And
yeah, it was
very good. What was the you guys went nuts for the nudie.
Oh, yeah, the nudie.
You did it all for the nudie.
I did. It was so good. And, like, we were very, I mean, obviously we ate everything. So there's many things that weren't, you know, there were a lot of grains. It was like the first three courses had grains. It was kind of funny. But we were drinking so much water and like the wine and stuff. Like we woke up the next day and was fine. Like no issues. Like I thought I was going to be in so much pain with like just the amount of food and all that stuff. But no, I was okay.
Well, and if anybody wants to see, I think you posted all the...
I did. I did post all the pictures. I didn't caption any of it because it wasn't... They didn't have a menu or anything like that, and I wasn't taking notes on what we were eating.
We need to record these people doing this.
I know, right? We should next time.
So, yeah, that was a fun little weekend, and then this week has been just extremely tough with work.
Yeah.
So, and that's going to happen. So, you know, it's been 2 weeks...
Yes.
How's your views from the couch and your training?
I have notes.
All right.
Because Linda yelled at me.
Oh.
She said, "You better have notes."
I better have notes.
Yes. So, but my notes are from like last week because I honestly was working so much this week. I just had Gilmore Girls on. So I was watching my Gilmore Girls because that's like, I just let that go on Netflix and then I don't have to pay attention because I have to pay attention with my reality shows.
Do you feel Gilmore Girls is timeless?
Yes.
Not so much about the period.
No,
but definitely.
Yeah, I think it kind of relates. I think it could go.
Big lessons in Gilmore Girls, or is it more just entertainment for you?
It's just entertainment. There's no.
Not a This Is Us, like
no,
tear jerking, lots of
no,
lessons.
No.
All right.
No, there's no lessons.
Okay.
Okay, so let me see. On The Real Housewife Dallas, this Cameron is annoying, but she's making this pink dog food.
Like but food coloring?
Food color. Like, so the dog food's pink, but everyone keeps telling her that dogs are colorblind, so why do you need to make pink dog food? And she's like, well, just because they're colorblind doesn't mean they can't have pretty food.
I didn't know dogs are colorblind.
They are colorblind.
Huh.
Except that's what they said on the show. Someone said it on the show. Well, and I really kind of believe that they are.
Look, if they said it on Real Housewives,
then it has to be true.
It has to be true.
So she had a party to promote her pink dog food, and she had all these like people come with their pets, and they painted their dogs.
Just so you know.
Are they?
No, dogs are not colorblind in the sense that they see more than just black, white, and gray. However, the color range they perceive is limited compared to the spectrum. Well, I don't know, but let's click on, there's an infographic.
So are you saying they lie to me on Real Housewives?
Okay, they don't see pink.
They don't, okay.
But
well,
they're
then
not colorblind.
Oh, I always thought they were colorblind.
Well, no, not according to this infographic on the Google. From dogsaholic.com.
Well, they would know. So anyway, so that she had this ridiculous party where people brought their dogs, and like she says that they're gonna paint their dogs. So I thought they're gonna paint the dogs, like color, you know, like, you know, dye their hair and stuff. No, they actually this like they painted pictures of their dogs. This is like a thing that they did.
Like you guys do, like when you go get drunk and right. call it book club.
Exactly, exactly. But this time you're painting, like painting your dogs. Yeah, but they're painting
there was
their
a,
dogs.
There was a Shark Tank with one of those on it the other day where you go and drink wine.
Oh,
paint.
Yeah, and paint.
But it
yeah,
was like a I've nude done... guy, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. For like Bachelor, they didn't get the money. They didn't get a deal.
Yeah.
I don't think. So anyway, so that was just ridiculous. The 90-day fiancé, before the 90 days, because that's what it's called. I think I mentioned him before. There's this guy that goes to Colombia to meet this girl that pretty much ignores him. So she makes him wait for 3 hours. She finally shows up, has one dinner with him. And, like, he was, like, going there to propose to this woman, right? She blows him off. He just happened to be talking to another girl, calls her to come meet him. They hang out. He tells her about the original girl. And, like, she gets all mad. And she's like, she just left. But she didn't. Then he proposes to this new one with the ring that he bought for the other one.
I feel like you've told this on air before.
But she actually proposed this time. He actually just proposed. With the ring. And she said yes.
Well, he didn't want to waste a good ring. So when in Colombia, you just find a nice Colombian lady and propose, I guess.
I can't. I just can't. Below Deck came back. So we had Below Deck Mediterranean. This is the original Below Deck with Captain Lee. It came back. And I just decided I need to be rich so that I can go on these vacations and on these yachts because they're just amazing. They're in Tahiti.
You have not gotten a single country
right the entire time we've done this show. I feel like this one's right, though.
Okay.
I really feel... maybe not. Now I'm second-guessing myself. Anyways, but they're not in, like, the Mediterranean or anything like that. But they usually go to, like, the Caribbean, but it was after the hurricanes and stuff like that. So they couldn't... The area that they usually go to. So they had to go... I really think it's Tahiti. Are you looking?
I'm trying.
It's Below Deck.
Yeah.
On Bravo.
I don't know.
Okay. And then finally, when I catch up on all my shows, I watch this horrible one, 7-Year Switch. And I talked about this one before, and I'm on season 2 of it now. And there's this young couple where all they want to do is party. They're not in it for the, to like make their marriages better. And like they met the other, like they met like their fake spouse's real spouse. And this woman was like ready to throw down. Like she was this mad at her because she's like, you shouldn't be with him. He should be with me. Like basically she's throwing away her marriage. So that's all I got. So that's my views.
Well, all right. What about your training? How's that going?
So I've done nothing for 2 weeks. So I ran my 5K and then I said, oh, I need a couple days off. And then I had every intention of starting again. And then I didn't. I was enjoying like sleeping, not getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go. And yeah, I didn't. But I did sign up for the 5K in Pittsburgh. And then I contacted Coach Andy. And I asked him if he would do a maintenance plan for me. So I never like, so what we discussed is I'm never going to run more than 3.1 miles. Like that's it. And it's kind of just like a interval walk, run, do a long run. It's kind of, I talked to him a little bit tonight before we went on air because I was giving a hard, I wrote him. I'm like, hey, I really wish I could talk about my plan, but and he's like, I swear to God, I was working on it last night. I'm like, okay, sure.
Well, this is a little bit unusual.
It is. It is unusual for him. Like, he's never done anything like this. And I feel like that's pretty, you know, that's par for the course for something with me, right? I'm not exactly normal.
So what was your intent? You were going to take a few days off, take a week off?
I was planning on taking a couple days off. Like, well, actually, you know what? I was planning on like a week off. I was planning and hoping, because I talked to Andy and I was hoping to have a plan this past week so that when I go to Atlanta tomorrow, I would already have an existing plan and I would already be back in the rhythm and I would be okay with travel. So he says he'll get it to me tomorrow and I wouldn't be able to do it. Well, I guess I could do something after work tomorrow anyway. So, because I leave at the way too early and then I have a stressful day and then I usually need a drink after one day. But I am going to bring my workout stuff with down there. And but so I always plan on taking a week and it just kind of into 2 weeks. And I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed sleeping in. And then last night and this morning, I had every intention. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go out. I'll go do one of my, you know, maybe I'll run for a mile and walk, you know, a mile or something like that. Like I was going to do something this morning. I had every intention. And then Michaela was up all night coughing and I just did not sleep well.
I wouldn't jump right back into running a full mile.
I wasn't. Let's face it. I really wasn't. But I was going to go out and do like an interval or something like that. I wasn't. I didn't. I knew I wanted to get out. I didn't have a plan because I don't have a plan. I told you this is why I need a plan.
So the plan is the motivator for you at that
point. It is. It is. But now Andy says that he's like, I'm just going to, he's like, your love for running. I'm not, I don't know if I'm going to charge you. What am I going to do? Charge you $10 for this? And I'm like, if I don't pay for it now, am I not going to follow it? I feel like if I don't pay for it, then it's like, psh.
Well, of course we're going to pay for it.
I know, I mean, but he's saying, he says it's like, it would be like, he's like, I'm not going to charge you $10 for it. I'm like, it seems like it should be more than $10.
I'll be in a negotiation.
We'll have to negotiate with him because.
Well, I mean, he has coaching clients.
Right.
People pay.
Exactly.
I mean, just because you're weird doesn't mean that you don't.
Exactly.
Hey, we'll figure out something.
That's what I told him.
But the interesting part is, I don't think it's unusual for somebody to say, I'll take a week off and then take 2 weeks off or 3 weeks or a month or a year or 6 years or
exactly.
12, right?
No.
It snowballs really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Same with. If you eat incorrectly, if you don't exercise, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's just not easy to get the motor going again.
Yeah.
And that's why even when I have run a race and I've worked hard, I'm still looking at how quickly can I get back out there so that
right. you don't lose
I don't
momentum.
Lose it. Because I would.
I was not looking for it. I was okay with being a bum. But then I was like, oh, wait, I did sign up for the 5K. And I don't want to hurt. I mean, we're doing that, you know, day one of our vacation, essentially. So I don't want to hurt myself.
It's less than 2 weeks away.
Exactly. So I need to have some kind of, but I never said I was going to run it. I knew I wasn't. But I want to maybe run a little bit of it. But my goal.
Just the uphill?
Yeah, right. I'll run the downhills if there are any. It'll probably be all uphill with my luck. It's just straight uphill.
It might be. I haven't looked at the 5K course.
Well, no, it goes in a circle. So it's got to, if it, you got to go down. I mean, you can't just keep going up if you're going to end up.
You can. Depends on where it starts and where it finishes.
I know. So,
mountaintop finish.
I know. Oh, my God. What did I get myself into? So I want to make sure that I'm not, and I mean, I was surprised with how quickly I was able to condition and, you know, run a half mile and do all that kind of stuff. Like my body reacted fairly well considering I'm a big old bum. So, but it doesn't mean that I can't do anything for another 2 weeks and still think I could go out there. I could go out there and walk the 5K. Yes, I could do that, but I don't want to just walk it. I want to finish before they cut, you know, sweep me off the mountain. You get swept on a 5K. There's something wrong with, I mean, I can't.
I don't think that.
Can they sweep a 5K?
Well, they can.
Ma'am, it's been 8 hours. You need to get off the mountain.
Do you need a cot? You could finish tomorrow. I don't think that, you know, most 5Ks are pretty generous with walkers. This is a trail.
Yeah.
Let's
face it. I'm just going to try not to fall.
That would be great. I figured that you would get bruised at some point during this race.
Probably. So.
Well, my training's been okay, not phenomenal, because I had a little IT band tightness for the first time in a very long time. And that knocked me off my game a little bit. And I ran out of time another day and didn't get all my miles in. So I'm not real happy with that, but it's in the rearview mirror. And on Saturday, which is yesterday, I went out and did 12 miles on Waterfall Glen.
Yep.
and basically went out 6 miles, turned around, came back the 6 miles. And the reason I did that is it's a loop.
Yeah.
And the loop is just under 10 miles. You can make it like right around 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have to have gone out a mile and come back, which would have been fine.
Yeah.
But you see your car basically.
You're like, you at feel 10 like, miles. You feel like you really would have been like.
You're really close to your car at 10 miles. I'm like, I'm not going to risk that. Plus, when I also need to get in some elevation if possible.
Right.
So when you go out those 6 miles, it's relatively downhill. There's one kind of quick uphill at the beginning, mm-hmm. and then it's really a lot of downhill.
Okay.
Almost all the, either flat or downhill, almost all the way through the 6 miles.
Oh, wow.
So then when you come back, you
uphill.
Are uphill and uphill, and a couple of parts are quite a bit uphill. And I really wanted to make sure I got some of that in.
Yeah.
And I did more of a run walk, knowing that and knowing that on the trail race, that's probably be more run walk.
Yeah.
So I was doing that like a 4:30 run, 30-second walk.
Okay.
And I was able to do that the whole time. I did finally use that e-gel that I bought a while ago, the cherry something.
Yeah.
Cherry bomb.
How was that?
It was actually pretty good. It's like almost like a sour cherry.
Okay. Which you love.
I love that flavor. And it did not upset my stomach.
Okay.
And so I think I might buy one of those to have with me.
For the trail.
Yeah.
I think that's just probably a good idea. Me. I think that's a good idea.
I'll probably have a few other, I'll have maybe something real food with me too.
Yeah.
And just water. There's
the
a lot
same
of
too. I'm thinking about some food or something.
Like a sandwich?
Yeah.
Like a lettuce wrap?
Like a lettuce wrap. A burrito.
If you order pizza while you're on the trail.
Can I bring my coffee with?
Oh, totally. Then you just walk it and have some, just go on a nature hike.
Nature hike at that point, right?
At the ski
resort. Do you think people
resort.
Get like mad at me and be like, what are you doing?
No, well, somebody would.
Yeah. But if I put in like a water bottle, maybe they wouldn't notice. Hydration pack.
Maybe.
One of the hydration packs and have coffee in it.
You know what I just remembered too? I don't know why all this ridiculousness. I think I'm just trying to get us off this subject.
Go ahead.
I forgot to congratulate Rob on his sub 4 hour finish. He
oh,
came
that's
in
right.
at like 3 hours, 48 yes. minutes and change. So
that was his goal.
He's been pursuing that sub 4 for a long time. So
and he did it.
Congrats, Rob.
Yes. All right. I'll stop talking about myself. So anyway, so.
I don't know where you were going with
know.
It.
I wasn't going anywhere. But you did it. And then you were able to continue to, have a good day.
Yeah, my IT band was slightly tight at the end of it. I stretched it out when I got to the car and we went and had a bite to eat and had a full day.
Yeah.
And
today, we did take naps. We took a little nap.
Well, I did take a nap.
Yeah.
That's true.
And you kind of had a new appreciation for why your brother naps after his long runs and stuff.
You're I do. Yeah. It takes a lot out of you.
It does. I don't see, if you sleep for, if you sleep for 6 hours, then it's going to be like, okay, let's talk. But, you go up and take an hour nap, or even if you're just relaxing for an hour, there's nothing, that seems totally reasonable given that you just ran 12 miles.
Well, and Michaela was laying down for a nap at the same time.
Exactly.
So it's not a big deal.
Yeah. And I laid down too after I put together my Halloween stuff. But yeah.
And it was a good little nap. And then we went out for dinner and mm-hmm. ate like idiots, which leads me to the rest of this. So I put out a blog post this last week, mm-hmm. and the title says it all: gas station zingers.
Yeah.
And I'm off the rails with eating. I have really had trouble getting back on track, and it's very interesting because I call it off the rails, but when I really really think about it, I'm eating better than I used to.
Right.
So it's a kind of an interesting dichotomy going on in my brain about, which is good. My need for what is good has shifted.
Yeah.
But I am having trouble kind of processing how to get out of the funk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote about it and it got quite a few responses and a lot of support. Like,
of course,
from people asking, hey, what can we do? Or commiserating, like, totally understand, I'm in the same place. Or, and a lot of, you know, I wrote that I felt alone kind of towards the end of that. And a lot of, hey, you know, you're not alone. Like Sarah, Willie Hardy was like, hey, you know, you're not alone in this. And I get that. And in a broad sense, I'm not alone. It's very much like training. I can have a coach. I still have to do the runs.
Right.
I can have all the support in the world. In the end, I still have to be the one that eats correctly.
Yep.
And the more I get into this and the more I'm thinking about it, I really feel that I'm probably closer to, you know, we talked about this early on and we're very careful about it and I'm going to continue to be careful about it, but it's more like an addict type situation because I'm not sure that I can do things in moderation.
Right.
And maintain the life that I want and not gain weight back. So I gained 14 pounds back from my low, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was slow and kind of just crept up. And then I had a little burst of a, you know, like 5 pounds, and that's where this was.
Mm-hmm.
And I've discovered that for me to lose weight, I have to be good 95 to 100% of the time.
Yeah.
What that means is not 95 to 100% of every meal has to be good.
No.
It means that like if you take 100 meals, right, 95 to 100 meals has to be good.
Right.
And that's a problem. Like it doesn't mean the plate is 95% good.
Right.
Because it just that 5% on a plate,
on a plate
is a problem for me.
Right.
It's not for some others, but it is for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me to maintain, I've got to be 85 to 90% good.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if I'm below 80%, if I'm starting to gain weight.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. If I just go and out of, so if a week is 21 meals,
mm-hmm,
if I eat 18 of those meals, 16, 17 of those meals correctly, and I eat 3 or 4 or 5 that are not correct, I'm going to gain weight.
Yeah.
And that's what started this.
Right.
Because I was doing that. I was about 80% good, but I saw my weight start to creep up. And then I kind of just said, forget it. Like in my mind, I'm highly stressed at times lately, which mm-hmm is a lot my own fault. And I just kind of lost it mentally. And the only thing that felt good was my old friend, sugar. And that's a big, big problem. And it's gotten to the point now where I was hiding food. Like I would eat something and not talk about it.
Yeah.
Which is what prompted me to write the blog post.
Mm-hmm.
Because I stopped at a gas station to pump gas and I went inside and bought Zingers. This is the trigger. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it is. And I've got a problem. And I need to rectify it.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to, in my mind, I could really get to doing it was to put it out there publicly. Like I said, I would be open.
Yeah.
And there's another piece of pressure here. And I don't know if you feel it, but having the podcast and having talked about how well we've done,
mm-hmm,
getting people on board.
Yeah.
Watching people have success.
Yeah.
I feel like a hypocrite. I feel like I'm letting people down. Right. And the only person I know, the only person I'm letting down is me. I got that.
Yeah, of course. But I get it.
But I feel
get
like
it.
I feel like a hypocrite when I don't do
right
the right things to try to be a leader. Not that that's why we put the podcast out.
Right.
As I mean, we talked about reality TV for 10 minutes. So,
hey.
But the point is that there's an added pressure doing it this way, too.
Right.
And
but we kind of did it to like an accountability. I don't see it as pressure. I see it as keeping me accountable to what I, my goal, my what I said I was going to do, you know?
I wish I could frame it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I admire the fact that you can. I look at it as, you know, right now my jeans are tight.
Yeah.
And I'm recording this podcast and I can feel them digging into my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a hypocrite because I'm the one that's been on air for a year telling people, hey, sugar and grains are a big issue, or find whatever your issue is. It's not that issue for everybody, but for
right
me it is. If meat's your issue and you're vegetarian, like if you turn around and start eating meat,
right,
you know, maybe you're going to have problems.
Right.
So for me, it's sugar and grains. I just have a big issue with myself. Like it's my own pressure.
Right.
But it's a pressure that I feel. Yeah. So
that's real.
You know, and interestingly, I heard Scott, who is the Scott Coomer, who's a host of 10 Junk Miles, talk about the same with his racing. He's had a lot of did not finish, a lot of DNF.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, I think, has struggled a little bit with the same kind of thing, but in
right.
but with racing, right?
Right.
And I know he's also struggling with some weight and food stuff, too. He wrote a blog about it not too long ago. So at this point, though, I've got to make a decision on how I'm going to live my life. And it's not easy. But I want to go back to how I was, which was 90 to 100% good.
Right.
And that's the only way I'm going to be able to lose and maintain my weight.
Yeah.
And I feel better when I do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
What's remarkable to me is I'm able to still get up and go run 12 miles with hardly any fuel.
Right.
So it's not like my body is
totally reverted. Yeah. Right,
shunned the fat adaption.
No.
It's just that I've started to, I'm on that path.
Yeah.
To it, though.
Yeah. And I guess I just didn't, we don't eat all our meals together. And, you know, you will say, like, you know, I still, when I cook dinner, I try to keep everything. I mean, it's not like I'm making rice or pasta or something like that, you know. Yes, maybe we'll have a baked potato, but we've always had a baked potato every once in a while, right? And so when I ask you, I'm like, oh, what'd you have for lunch? And you say you have a burger. Like, a part of me knows that you're having the bun, but it's like, I also want to think, oh, no, he probably took off the bun.
The problem is I need to get back to where I'm bringing food with me, where lunch is actually not a meal that I'm got right. that I've got to worry about, because the fact is, in the way my work situation is right now, I don't have time. It's a ridiculous amount of work. I can't stop 9-10 hours a day. And when I'm in the car, what am I going to do? You can't eat a lettuce wrap.
Right.
In a car. So you can't eat a meal. So I've got to get to the point where I make myself some sort of breakfast before I leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bring nuts and a cheese stick or something with
right.
me. Bone broth. Something that just will satisfy it. But I can't have lunch on my mind. I can't have not eaten, fasted, and then end right. up having to go get something. Because nothing really delivers that's good.
Yeah.
And then if I go out, I need to do it quickly. I don't have time to knife and fork a hamburger. I need to just eat.
But so
and
you
go.
Have to make time, though.
I get it.
I mean,
but
so
right
that's,
now, it's just
like,
not possible. So I've got to rearrange.
Yeah.
Like that, I can't put myself in that situation. And I,
yeah.
and for a long time, I wasn't. I would eat eggs or something before leaving.
Yeah.
I would just bring some nuts and a cheese stick, literally,
mm-hmm.
Maybe some veggies, and that would be it. And then I'd come home and eat dinner, and I was fine.
Right.
My mindset is half the problem.
Yeah.
And then the way that the timing is the other half of it. And so I need to stop, and it's all on me. And that's what I meant by alone, because you can't stop it for me.
No.
Nobody who's out there supporting me can. I'm the only one who can.
Right.
Because you can't be with me when I stop at the gas station to slap to slap the Zingers out of my hand.
No, I can't. I can't just drive around with you and watch right. you what you're eating all the time.
But I don't want to be the guy that's looking, you know, standing over the sink eating a box of Entenmann's.
No.
Looking into that reflection again.
No.
And I don't want my pants to be tight like they are right this minute.
Right.
And I don't want to feel bad.
Yeah.
Any, you know, and I haven't yet, but I'm starting to. And last night's meal was kind of a tipping point for me, where when we ate a lot of bread and we ate dessert.
Yeah.
And it was too much. Like, and I knew it was, and I couldn't. Last night, I wanted to stop myself and I didn't. And that was like, I knew at that moment.
Yeah.
I was in trouble. And the Zingers were hint one. Last night was something that I had the opportunity to control.
Right. yeah,
with people that would not have said a word to me.
No.
Negative.
Nope.
And I didn't do it.
Because so, I didn't eat the bread and the, yeah, I mean, you could have, yes. I mean, we did make a collective choice not to get the pizza last night as a group. Right. So that
there's
was,
the victory. The Italian donuts and
oh,
salted
I was eating
butters-
those. I was eating that donuts. There was, there's, I have no guilt on that one. I was dreaming about
that. So it's not, it's not guilt okay. that I have. That's not it.
Okay.
It's the hypocrisy that I don't like.
Yeah.
That I put myself out there and I'm not saying I have to be perfect.
Right.
We've made it abundantly clear
yeah.
over the past, you know, 15 months. No, wait,
51 episodes.
51 episodes.
I can see. It says it right there.
13 months.
Yeah.
51 episodes that we're not perfect and we don't intend on living a life
no.
of perfection. But I'm wondering how close to that I need to be
yeah.
in order to maintain the life that I want.
Right.
Because I can't go once a week and have a life and a living
no.
day. I can't go once every 2 weeks and do that. I can maybe go once a month. And I think then I would be able to, and I'm talking about a life and a living meal, not day.
Right.
I think I'd be able to do that. But I'm really afraid of if I don't get this under control now, what am I going to do when we're in Pittsburgh? I don't like the feeling of before it would have been no big deal. Like when we went to Toronto, I none of this stuff was a big deal to me. Now it's weighing on my like how I'm going to handle it. So I know I'm in a
yeah.
bad spot, but I also know that by worrying about it, it's I'm catching it and like it means something to me.
Okay.
It's not like I don't give a rip, so I'm just going
right.
to continue to go. You know, you're leaving town this week is
yeah.
going to make it tough because now I've got all that work stuff doesn't stop. So that nonstop work for 9 or 10 hours minimum is going to continue. And I've got to get Michaela and then you get back and then I've got to go get, you know, the other two great kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have an awesome weekend with them. But it's nonstop. Like there's no break at this point. And I don't deal well with that. A lot of times food's my outlet.
Yeah.
So we're on thin ice here and we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what happens because, you know, my goal is while you're gone.
I made you soup.
You did make me soup. My goal while you're gone is to get my act together and I hope to be sitting in front of this microphone next Thursday night or Friday night, whatever we record, and talking about
the success.
The fact, yeah, well, more the fact that I've just got everything back in order and I'm ready to rock, you know, like I want to do well at that race. I don't want to feel like crap going
right.
into that race in Pittsburgh.
No.
So it's, you know, I know a lot of people think that I'm beating myself up and maybe I am a little bit, but it's not that. I'm angry.
Yeah.
And I'm just angry that this is like my outlet.
Yeah.
I'm angry that it's taking me so much time to figure out and that I had to gain that much weight. I mean, the pants were loose and now they're tight. Like
right.
14 pounds is
a big.
Is big. So
yeah.
I have lost back even after last night a couple of pounds.
Yeah.
It'll keep going. Well, last night I'm probably bloated from that, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't weigh myself today. But before that, I was down a few pounds and starting back on the right track. But I still wasn't where I need to be.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this was a downer episode.
I know.
You're not training. I'm eating like crap. We are terrible examples right now.
Yeah.
You just don't care, though, about the training, so.
No.
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 All right. Well, I'm going to get off this rant.
I just wish there was something. I mean, I wish there was something I can do, but I know there's nothing I can do. I mean, it's all on you. You got to do it yourself.
And, you know, look, it's been, and this is not, I'm not blaming you at all. Not 1 cent, but we did not go shopping and you usually do the shopping, but we did not like, there was nothing in this house that was good. I don't know how you did it. Like
I eat eggs,
but that, I mean, I can't do that. Right. So you eat eggs and cottage cheese every single day.
Yep.
And I can't do that. So knowing that, I needed to get out of the house and go to the store. Didn't do it.
No.
And I paid for it. you know, and I've leaned on you to take care of me that way for too long. So that's what I mean. Like, I'm not blaming you. It's my own fault.
Yeah,
like
I just didn't have a chance to go to the store. So
and
I
neither did
do,
I.
I made do with what we had to feed the family.
But that's my
stuff,
point.
So.
Like our work lives right now are so busy. We literally don't have time to go to the store. The time that we had to do it, we went out and did other things with friends or whatever. And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But we literally didn't make the time to go to the store. I've got to figure that out. Like that just can't happen. So if I got to get up an hour earlier and just go to the Jewels, I've got to go do it because this just cannot continue for me. And it's my own fault for doing it. 100% my own fault. I relied on you in a space that was my responsibility.
Well, so, and also like when I would go to the store, I'd be like, what do you want? And like there was nothing you wanted. Like do you want your yogurt? No, that doesn't sound good to me. Like nothing sounded good to you.
Still
so,
doesn't.
Like when I go to the store, you know, I have to get my cottage cheese and my eggs and stuff. And I ask you, what do you want? And you don't have a response. It's like, okay, well.
But last week you didn't.
I didn't go last week. No.
At all. That's what I'm saying.
No, like, I had plenty of eggs and bacon, so I was good.
You were eggs and baconed up.
I was.
I know. And so I've got to get out of my head.
Yeah.
That's and make time where. So it's got to become a priority. And it, you know, it's kind of strange because I spent all this time trying to make it so food wasn't a priority. And now I've got to make it a priority so that I have the right things around.
Yeah.
You know.
But you need to figure out what those things are, too.
Well, I mean, we
kind of. That's the problem.
I'm trying to go back to doing the things that I was doing at the beginning.
Yeah.
And so we bought a couple of those things today while we were at the store, and you made a delicious soup.
I did.
And I've got some burgers and eggs and. That's what I'm going to have to eat. And yogurt.
Yep. I got you yogurt.
And, you know, a piece of fruit. Nobody got fat from eating fruit. So
no.
If I want to eat a piece of fruit, I'm going to eat a piece of fruit. It's the slippery slope of what sugar can do.
Right.
In terms of eating too much of it.
Yes.
So. All right.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I got to go pack.
You do.
I got to get up in like 5 hours.
We got a new review.
Oh, we did?
We did.
Oh my goodness.
So
a good one?
You tell me.
Okay.
It is 5 stars though, and I think it's from a fellow Sub 30 Club member. I think it's from Jeff Kyle. Truly enjoying the podcast. Wasn't sure at first with all the talk about TV shows and stuff.
Hey.
But as I continued to listen, I really enjoy the flow of the show. From the interviews with many Sub 30 members who I have much respect for, to the views from the couch, to listening to Pete get a Sub 35K, all good stuff. Keep up the great work. So he came around.
He came around to the views. Hashtag views.
Right? And we've got new patrons.
What?
Yeah.
Patrons?
Yeah.
You told me about one.
Well, Amy.
Yep.
And now we've got John from Endurance for Everyone has become a patron of the show. Along with Christine and Linda and what Julie did for us. So we're huge, feeling good,
quitting our jobs. Let's do it.
Quitting our job. we're gonna need about, let's see, our audience, everybody's going to have to contribute a lot of money for us to quit the job. But it is pretty cool, and we really thank you.
Totally appreciate it
a lot. It's really awesome, and we've got a, you know, you've got our eternal gratitude.
Yes.
So that's it, though. I'm going to wrap this up.
Let's do this.
This Debbie Downer of an episode.
We'll be better next week.
We'll be better next week. Why are you making promises like that?
True.
That is a check we might not be able to cash.
This is true.
All right. You've been listening to episode 51.
5-1. It's right there.
51 of the Fat Man Chronicles. The music is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. You can find us on social media at Fat Man Stories. Check out the website, fatmanchronicles.com. That is where I do put up some blogs. You can subscribe to that. Also, you can hit the shop button. Go over, get yourself some sweet, sweet swag, which we sold a like 5 or 6 pieces of swag lately too.
Almost,
like this week.
We could almost like get money for this stuff. We've almost made enough.
No, not really. Okay. But it's really cool. So
yeah,
several more
it.
Mugs have That's gone awesome. Out the door. And I have a shirt in our PG-13
yes.
rating we can't talk about, but it's just bleeping run. So that's starting to get some traction. So that's pretty cool. And I realized Jocelyn bought, I think, one of those because I sent her the link and I'm like, oh, you can put it on a women's shirt. I didn't even make a women's one of those because I'm sexist, apparently.
You are.
So that's
always
about
said it.
If you want to do something for the show, by all means, become a patron. But really, a rating and review on Apple Podcasts is awesome. So that'll wrap it up. No more Debbie Downer episodes, we promise, for a while.
Oh, come on now.
That I can pretty much promise.
Okay.
All right. So everybody get out there and be better today.
Not hiding, I was unsure, and now